Others have argued it's not so simple, that popular democracy and authoritarianism both competed in the minds of Bolsheviks, and that circumstances decided which would rise to the top. Increasingly, especially increasing opposition to Bolshevik power, continued social problems pushed authoritarianism to the fore. Whatever the reason, it's certainly the case that authoritarianism was indeed from the beginning on the rise in Bolshevik rule. In fact, even before coming to power, Lenin liked to say, "Bolsheviks are not anarchists, you know." He liked to talk about coercion being needed in a revolution, about strict iron discipline. At one point, he argued, before 1917, he reminded his fellow Bolsheviks not to forget that, in his words, a revolution is the most authoritarian thing imaginable. Once he came to power, this sort of talk was increasingly common. Lenin's own public vocabulary in many of his speeches was filled with, side by side with democratic language, with authoritarian phrases. He liked to talk about control and suppression of enemies and coercion and discipline and dictatorship, and he usually accompanied these nouns with the appropriate adjectives. He would talk about ruthless suppression or iron discipline. In fact, Lenin didn't even hesitate, and this was in early 1918, to say that it would be useful to, in his words, shoot on the spot 1 out of 10 idlers. These authoritarian convictions, also part of Bolshevik thinking about power, were reflected also in the early policies of the new government, and it's worth saying these signs grew steadily. The first step, of course, we've already seen, the establishment of a one-party government. This was, as I've suggested, controversial, even in fact among Bolsheviks, and there was good reason for them to doubt that this was a good idea. From huge numbers of proclamations and statements by soldiers and workers and peasants, it's clear that most lower-class Russians believe that what was going to happen after October 1917 was a Soviet government, including all the parties that existed in the Soviet. Nobody had ever talked yet about Bolshevik power. In fact, many argued that exclusive Bolshevik power violated the whole spirit and intent of the revolution, not to mention would make the government too weak to fight opposition already beginning to organize on the right. Some people, Bolsheviks, backed these criticisms of a one-party state with threats. Most seriously, in November, the entire railroad union that had been supportive of the revolution threatened a national strike if one didn't create a multi-party government, didn't include other parties in central authority. And in fact, many Soviets across the country made similar demands. In fact, even two members of the Bolshevik Central Committee, Grigory Zinoviev and Lev Kamenev, quit the Central Committee of the party in protest against one-party rule. Now, it's interesting because faced with this protest, the Bolsheviks, Lenin, agreed to let into the government some other party, in this case, the left wing of the Socialist Revolutionary Party, created after a split in the SR party whether to support Bolshevik rule. But mostly, they answered such criticisms by insisting that they themselves were the vanguard, that they knew best how to promote the interests of the common people. So later, in 1918, when these left SRs quit the government in protest over Bolshevik authoritarianism, the Bolshevik leaders had nothing but contempt for their cowardice. They were happy and satisfied to rule on their own. Another important and telling authoritarian measure was a press law that was passed on October 27th. This was followed a decree that had actually been passed the day before, October 26th, that closed all so-called bourgeois papers and even some socialist papers. This new law of October 27th gave the Council of People's Commissars, the cabinet of Bolshevik leaders, the power to close any publication they wanted to, though the courts would have to review the legality of that later. This was also followed by a decree confiscating all printing presses, all paper stocks in the country, handing presses and paper over to local Soviets, who were then to distribute them only to approved political or social groups. In fact, the text of the law is very interesting. It includes a defense of censorship. This was necessary because, of course, it seemed to most Russians who had been fighting the revolution and supporting these goals for years, censorship violated everything they thought the revolution was about.